As the Census Bureau conducts its field test for the 2020 population count, Congress worries the project is falling behind schedule and over budget. Census is testing new technology and procedures in those field tests going on now in Providence, Rhode Island. Agency officials gave members of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee a status update last month. Former Census Director Robert Groves tells Federal News Radio's Jory Heckman how Census can make the best use of that new technology.
The ideal field test, I think, would be the use of all the processes that have been designed for the next census, implemented on an area small enough that you can manage it without huge costs, implemented in a way that you're exposing the design processes to different types of household situations. You'd like, ideally, to test every system that you have in place or that you want to use in the eventual census. In actuality, over time, most decades, the census tests implement part of the processes because not all of them are fully developed at the time. And that will be true this cycle as well. The test design was reduced in terms of number of different sites, which means that it will be implemented in a site that won't exhibit as much variation on the household context, the household characteristics, as would have been the case otherwise. The impact of that will probably be unknown at a time. There'll be some processes that won't be tested in that field test, and that'll be the risk-taking decision that's inherent in this.
We've heard that the field test in Providence, Rhode Island, was one of three that the Census Bureau was going to do, but due to budget constraints, they won't be testing the new technology in rural West Virginia or suburban Washington State. Is this a case of the agency putting all of its eggs in one basket?
When you do multiple sites, you're also exposing yourself to how different staff qualities will impact the outcome of the test. And despite all of the efforts of any organization, including the census, to have a skill mix that is optimal for whatever you're doing, there is variation across the teams that work on the census. So they'll miss a little of that. They'll have internal to the Providence test team variation to look at so they could diagnose that. I think the big thing is on the rural side, there'll be some methods used in rural areas that won't have a test. Now, those methods have been used in prior censuses, so that would be the counter-argument about, you know, the risk that they're taking. These are known processes.
In the 2010 count, we saw there was an attempt to roll out some technological advances. What I've heard from some previous Census Bureau directors was there was a move to try and use handheld devices like iPads to record all of the door-to-door census information on that. That really didn't seem to work out, and they went back to using paper. We see a lot of the same things now, cost overruns, falling behind schedule. Do you see this as a case of deja vu, and do you see any of the same warning signs?
So at about this time in every decade, the Census Bureau attempts to advance in technology, and they've succeeded in every decade. Sometimes not all of the technology they've been developing is actually used in that census, but it would be partially used. For example, the handhelds were partially used in the 2010 census. They weren't used for all of their functions that had been anticipated or desired. So this is common to a big effort like this. The critical point, the wisdom that's needed is for each new piece of technology, is there a fallback if it doesn't work perfectly well? So Steve Murdoch, my predecessor, was there during the realization that the handhelds would not work for all the functions that they were desired to perform. And when I came in, a team had been assembled to really redo. So I came in 2009. By then, a team had redesigned the basic processes and produced a census that was really quite good. So We have months left, but these are the crucial months where the final decisions and go, no-go decisions on new technology have to be made over the coming months. And it's at this point that we rely on the technical expertise of the public servants who've been working on this for some years.
There seems to be a lot of sink or swim moments here. This is the home stretch, if you will, for a lot of the final decisions for the 2020 count. Once the field test is finished in April, how soon does the Census Bureau get a chance to look back on the results and make a go, no-go decision?
I think what typically happens in the census test, and I'm sure it will happen in the coming months, is that there are a whole lot of people watching the processes as they unfold. So the diagnosis of what worked and what didn't work can be made really quite quickly. The data themselves are less important than did the processes produce the kind of efficiencies that they're seeking. Breakdowns will be readily apparent. Less than perfect execution will be apparent early. There'll be formal evaluation studies, but the kind of big impressions that will be needed to make the big go, no-go decisions, I think, will be evident pretty quickly.
Right now, the Census Bureau doesn't have a permanent director or deputy director. Those roles are being filled by career employees. When it comes to keeping the ship going and keeping the momentum going, how important is it to have permanent leadership in place right now?
The kind of leadership you need over the coming months will be the kind of leader that has unambiguous authority and legitimacy when there are two possible ways forward to make, and both of them have risks attached to them, both of them have benefits, to make that decision of we're going with one versus the other. And a permanent director with Senate confirmation is a good thing at that moment to make those decisions because there's no ambiguity about their authority or legitimacy to make it. The two interim people we have are wonderful public servants who are talented and are fulfilling their duties in a way that we should all be proud of. Without that formal appointment, however, I have a fear that in critical moments we'll have clogged decision making. And as the months go on, wise and quick decisions are needed.
Looking back at the last couple of census counts, it seems that the count is getting more and more expensive. Going forward, is this the new normal, or are there ways to help drive down costs?
Let's remind ourselves of a couple of things. I was incredibly lucky in that we were able to return $2 billion that we didn't need to spend on the 2010 census. Now, why did that occur? One is the outreach that we did appeared to produce initial participation rates that were better than we had feared. The biggest expense of the census is derived from the lack of initial participation of the American public. So to say it another way, if everyone responded upon first request, the census would really be cheap because they're using very efficient methods to collect the data. If you ask the question, you know, where do you put your money to save money, communicating to small community groups about how important it is for their own good, their own welfare, how important it is for them to participate, that's a wise use of Census Bureau money because it reduces the follow-up costs of the census. So back to your original question, will it get more and more expensive? Well, it really does depend on the American public. The American public could make it really cheap by just responding initially.
Former Census Director Robert Groves speaking with Federal News Radio's Jory Heckman. Check out our ongoing census coverage at federalnewsradio.com.